was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it got really, really bad. And I could see that he was getting really distressed. And there were tears coming out of his eyes. And you could tell the kid was really in distress. And I didn't know what to do. So I don't know whether it was just a good idea or whether it was the voice of the Lord. But I ended up, I lifted Nathaniel off the couch. I put a couple of duvet blankets. I put him on the ground in front of me, made him comfortable, put pillows and everything around him. And I started to play my guitar. Right? And I was just playing the guitar. And it went from bad to worse. I was lost completely. So what I ended up doing was, again, I'm pretty sure this was the Lord said to me, he needs physical touch. So if Nathaniel was lying here, I just found this position where I got one side, one foot on each side of his body, and I put my legs in. So my feet and my shins and my calves were in contact with him. And I had just been noodling some instrumental stuff over him. So I said, no. I just started singing worship songs. And for the first probably half an hour, there was no change whatsoever, none. And I kept playing and praying and speaking over him. And at the end of the day, he completely calmed down, became at peace, and the noises that he was making changed from being distressful almost to like little cooing noises. And you could see that the muscles in his face relaxed, and he was at peace. I bawled for probably an hour as I just kept playing. And as long as I played, Nathaniel was at peace. So at the end of a few hours, my fingers were incredibly sore, but it didn't matter because Nathaniel was at peace. So here we have, I'm not saying that Nathaniel was a Saul. He wasn't tormented by something. But what he was distressed. And my point to us this morning is life is so incredibly complicated these days that stress fills our lives. I read a study from the American Psychological Association, and there's been a paper written, or well, there's been several papers written, but this one I read, and basically the upshot of it is in today's modern world, or postmodern, whatever you want to call it, we are confronted with stimulus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it bombards us. We know things that are happening. There's not a disaster around the planet that we don't get to hear about. Someone can get a cold in Afghanistan and we can hear about it. Someone will have the measles in England and we'll hear about it. There can be someone has a flu in China or a sore throat in Israel or there's a bomb explosion here, a volcano there, a tsunami here, the government's falling apart there, government's falling apart here. COVID restrictions are coming back in. COVID restrictions are not coming back in. Masks are back in. Masks are not back in. And this stuff bombards our mind. And our challenge in our day, I believe, is to find peace. To find peace. I know of one antidote to chaos, And that's worship. I myself have been I think the best way I could put it is, someone said to me once a while ago, he said, Paul's a really nice guy until he's not. And, you know, I take no pride in it, but unfortunately it's true. I have my moments. Ron and Beth know that. Leith knows that. My wife knows that. A few others of you know that. Dave Van Taff. And sometimes the only option I have is to go home and put on some worship music. Now, it's usually not just worship music. It's usually going for a walk. It's usually getting out in nature, getting fresh air. It's a mixture of things, but the key component apart is worship. Remember, God did not create worship. Get that into your head. God did not create worship. God is worship. It's part of his nature and his character. It's part of heaven's throne. That's why if you look even at things like physics, string theory, stuff like that, everything on the planet has a vibration. The chair has a vibration. The microphone has a vibration. A piece of paper has a vibration. We can't see it or we can't hear it, but it's there. Anywhere where there's a vibration, it's like it's a noise that we can hear or not hear. So the cosmos is built up of vibration, which at its key point is basically music. So God did not create music. God is music. God is worship. Everything creative comes from God. Everything creative comes from God. So when we look at our lives and we look at stuff that really pulls us down, let's remember that sometimes it can be a matter of us going to, simply going to the iPad, CD player. For those of you who still have a CD player, there's some of you out there. Tell the truth, I know. And Ron says there's nothing wrong with a CD player. He's very right. But when we put something on, a piece of music on, and sit and listen to it, and it doesn't have to be the top hits from Bethel, or it doesn't have to be Elevation music, or it doesn't have to be Hillsong, it doesn't have to be any of those things. It could be choral music. It could be Gregorian chant. It could be the Tragically Hip. It's remarkable, some songs you hear that are secular songs and the message in them is quite profound. But there's an opportunity for us when we're in the dark place. Some would call it the dark night of the soul, when you're in such a desperate place where life is really struggling and you're dark and you're down and you can't seem to lift your head up. The one antidote for that is worship. Now you're saying, well, Paul, what about those of us who aren't worship, who aren't musical people? You have something. Whether it's a deep appreciation for poetry, a love of nature, a love of cooking, something that you can actually put your physical hands to, and you find that connection. Henry Nouwen was a great author and was a monk for many years. And he found God in the simplicity. His worship was washing dishes. That's what he did. I keep telling my wife that, but she's not really buying it. But I keep trying. But seriously, that's what he found. He went, and this man, it was brilliant, like academically brilliant. He found his peace in working in the surroundings where he worked with mentally challenged people. And his job was in the kitchen doing dishes. In the middle of all that, he wrote books and stuff that, well, Henry Nouwen, you read one of his books, you read a page and you go think about it for 3 days, and then you come back. It's not just something that you read every day, you know, not just something that you read all the way through. So there's always something for somebody. So don't sit here thinking, well, I'm not musically either gifted or inclined. Music's okay, but it's not my thing. You have a thing. You have a resonance inside you that the Creator put there, that the Father put there, that you can tap into, that finds God's heart. That's what worship is. Sunday morning, what does a worship team try to do? In our feeble efforts, we try to help create an environment where the presence of God is made manifest. Not that we do it, we don't do it. Only God can do it. But we do our best to try and create the environment where that may happen, where the Holy Spirit may come. And I know this morning as I was playing, I could feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. Some of you felt the same, others maybe didn't. That's okay. But there's always something. Worship was a cure for Saul's affliction. It can be a cure for your affliction now. There's something here that I want to read to you. Here's a strange quote from a different source. Chinese philosopher Confucius said, "If one should desire to know whether a kingdom is well governed, if its morals are good or bad, the quality of its music will furnish the answer." That's interesting. Yeah. Chinese philosopher Confucius said, "If one should desire to know whether a kingdom is well governed, if its morals are good and bad, the quality of its music will furnish the answer." Another guy, David Tame, said this, "Because the power for good and evil inherent within the tonal arts," get that again, "because of the power for good or evil that's inherent within the tonal arts, the moral effect of worship was considered to be so important by the Chinese as to rank it the most important test of music's worth." That quote comes from a strange place. Zephaniah 3:17 talks about the fact that man's expression of music is really part of the image of God. And when Saul's body felt oppressed, when David came and played, he felt relief. So what we can say today is, based on 1 Samuel 16:14 to 23, what it really communicates is that good music has the power to relieve spiritual and physical suffering. The text states that when David would play his lyre, the spirit would depart from Saul. The music that David played through the Lord was responsible for Saul's relief. We have an opportunity to heal our souls, to heal our hearts, to find deliverance if we can but surrender to the sound of worship. That sound could be a running river, or it could be an orchestral symphony. It could be a simple worship song. When we remember back in the early days of the Vineyard, all that was written basically were simple songs. You know, sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done. Loving Savior, precious Jesus. My heart is glad when you called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. How more simple does it get? Voyager 2 was a spacecraft that took off early 70s. I think it went to Jupiter. I think it was one of the first Voyagers to go, either Jupiter or Saturn. I can't remember. But when it came close to the rings, it picked up whines and hisses and sounds from the rings that were transmitted back to Earth. Now when they were beamed back to Earth, here's a thing. Evan would know more about this than probably most of us. When these sounds or noises were speeded up and played through a musical synthesizer, but the waves then were then found to consist of a kind of melody. Now, that's coming from a secular, scientific perspective where someone did that and said, that sounds like a melody. To me, that's profound. To me, that speaks of the power of creation. That speaks of the power of the Father speaking the world into existence. There's power in our words. And sometimes I find with me, when I go into a bit of a funk, usually how that expresses itself, first of all, is usually through inappropriate use of language. Not necessarily always bad language, but we get there pretty quickly. So when we think about what we speak. Remember, when we speak, there's a resonance that comes from the inside of us. There's a resonance that comes from deep in our hearts. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think when we look at that in each one of our lives, we should all be undone, because we all know the secret place in our heart, really what we're thinking, really what we're saying or not saying usually. But we don't realize truly, and I don't realize truly, the profound impact that our words have. When you look at some Hebrew tradition, it's big on God spoke the world into existence. That's a big part of their teaching. When we pray, we speak healing over someone. We speak deliverance over someone. Why do we do that? Because we know that somewhere in there, there's power that the Holy Spirit places upon it. And sometimes stuff happens, and sometimes stuff doesn't. And that's the eternal mystery of the here and not yet of the kingdom of God. But our words have power. So when we think of worship, let's think of both the ability that we have to access treatment for our maladies, treatment for our depression, treatment for our anxiety, treatment for our anger. Like, for those that go to the gym, how many of you have a playlist when you go to the gym? Well, Leith's the only one that goes to the gym, and he has a playlist. But usually we have a playlist. When you're in your car, I have a playlist. On my iPad, I got several playlists. I've got worship, I've got heavy rock, I've got classical, I've got Gregorian chant, I've got stuff that I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's great music, but the language is a bit... But we all have playlists. What playlist are we going to play when we get into trouble? What's our playlist? What's our worship playlist? That's what worship does. Worship soothes the fevered breast, brings peace to our hearts, and allows us to reset. So if you're in that place this morning, I would just like to close by praying for you. So for those of you who, let's get up, stretch your legs. If you want, if not, just stay where you are. But Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and dwell among us right now. We ask, Lord, that your presence would fill our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would just flow through every cell in our body. Lord, that where our DNA needs to be rewritten, that you would rewrite that DNA. Father, where there's confusion, bring clarity. Where there's anger, bring peace. Where there's anxiety, bring contentment. Where there's depression, bring freedom. Where there's lust, bring relief. You're a great God and we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom to worship you in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom to worship in this country. And Father, I just ask that as we go from this place, that you would continue to remind us that worship is our priority for a reason. And Father, I ask that you would bring to us people that have an interest in doing sound reinforcement, people that are worship leaders, people that are singers, people that are musicians, people that are playwrights, artists, intellectual thinkers, that every spectrum would be covered, Lord. Philosophers, God, that our minds would be expanded. And Father, just claim the verse in Romans 12, let us be transformed, Lord, through the renewing of our minds in everything. Let worship renew our minds this morning and bring us to that place where we can see your face more clearly. Part us when we go, Lord, keep us safe. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to brood over us this week as we move forward into the different building blocks that we're going to look at. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.
Sheila, can we put a few tunes on?
I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King, for your glory, glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, send your glory down.